Praise God. Well, let's go to Philippians 2:14. We talked for a couple weeks just on doing all things without complaining. And something else I want to cover tonight related to that. So we're going to look at Philippians 2, verse 14. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." In the NIV, the beginning of verse 14 says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." In the Living Bible, it says, "In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing." Stay away from it. And we talked about this in depth, you know, the first message, and we're not going to go over everything. But this is a lot more serious than a lot of people think. And we went through, I mean, it's in the company. In context, you say it talking about the Israelites, because the Israelites complain all the time, and don't be too quick to throw stones at them. And this is not a negative thing. We're looking at something. All the Word of God is good, and we don't want to dwell on the negative side of things, but we need to know some things, what to stay away from, because it'll help us in our walk with God. And, you know, we read how in the context of how people committed sexual immorality and did all these other things, and in the context of that, it said, in some of, and they complained. Complaining is a serious thing. It's God was not pleased with the Israelites for complaining. It's a very it opens the door to the devil, when, because you're not in faith, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're complaining, you're grumbling. And, you know, different versions say grumbling. That word complaining, grumbling, complaining, if you just look up in the dictionary, is to express grief, pain, or discontent. Grumbling is a mad, and we read these, but we're going to go over again. Grumbling, a mutter of discontent, complaint. If you're talking about, like, as an adjective, it's expressing discontent, especially by muttering. We talked about that. It's like, under your breath, you know, just constantly negative. Gonna say something. Gotta say the negative thing. Complaining. Not talking about legitimate dealing with situations, but complaining, grumbling. Gotta make known that I am not happy. Synonyms, because I went over these, but this, sometimes you see what things are and then what they're not. It helps us to dial in some synonyms and near synonyms for complaining, fussing, griping, protesting, squawking, whining. Now remember, this is not a light thing. God said, it says stay away from it. In other words, this should not be something that characterizes us. That's not a good witness. Some antonyms, near antonyms, are abiding, enduring, forbearing, patient, tolerant, accepting, forgiving, long-suffering, uncomplaining. So those are the things, if we're supposed to stay away from the other, these are the things that ought to describe us. That's what we want to aspire to. So it's not a light thing going, oh, it doesn't matter. No, it matters. We're going to see that even more or in different ways. But look at Philippians 2, 14 and 15, those same verses in the NLT before we go on. It says, "Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you." We're going to come back. We're going to touch on that. I don't know if we'll come back to it, but remember that. So no one can criticize you. The other one says, "So that you may be blameless and harmless. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." 1 Peter 4, verse 8 and 9, just going over some of the verses. You know, we went over a lot more verses, but just a couple things as we move into what we're focusing on tonight. 1 Peter 4, 8 says, "Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." We went over, this is what we focused on last week, Matthew 12:33 and 34, it says, Jesus is speaking, he says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." Notice that as well. A tree is known by its fruit. He's talking to the religious leaders. "Bread of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the mouth, or the heart, the mouth speaks. And we went over that and read this in different versions. It's out of the abundance of the heart, or what our heart is full of, that is going to, what's going to determine what comes out of our mouth. And so sometimes if we're like, I can't say certain things, why do I keep saying like the negative things? We need to go back upstream and say, what is going on? What are we putting in our heart? Because that's what's going to come out. The Bible said, we read it in multiple versions. It said, what your heart is full of is going to determine what you say. And you can't get around this. And we talked about, you know, a young child, a 4, 5, 6 year old, and if they're having a birthday party or it's Christmas, they're so excited, full of that, it's going to come out. They're excited about it. They're not real solemn about it, generally speaking. And so when things are coming out of our mouth, it's because it's in our heart. And so if we're like trying to just focus on the gateway, sometimes we have to back up and go, wait a minute, why is that? Why is my heart full of that? Because you can't get around it. The Bible says it. That is an indication of what my mouth or what my heart is full of. So I need to deal with that. I need to deal with my heart. If I'm constantly putting negative things in, if I'm constantly focusing on negative, if I'm constantly focusing on drama, then it's going to be in my heart and it's going to come out. And it doesn't matter. It's just going to come out all the time. And you can't say it's coming out of my mouth, but that's not in my heart, because it contradicts the word. It is in your heart. That's what's coming out. Now, we're not talking about your born-again spirit. Yes, your born-again spirit is alive to God, but you have the capacity to believe God, but if you're filling yourself up constantly with junk, it's not full of faith. Your heart is not, faith is of the heart. It's not faith. And so you're going to be yielding to the wrong thing. So we talked about that in depth. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep it with all diligence. So yeah, we can stop what we say. We monitor what we say, and we're going to talk about that some. But also, you can't get around the fact that if it's coming out my mouth, I need to focus on my heart. It's going to make, if I'm full of the word, if I'm full of his truth, full of joy, it's just going to flow out. Amen. I gave you that example. I'm not going to give the long example again, but when I was dating Shelly, and got to know her, it didn't take anything for me to talk about Shelly. Whether you wanted to hear about it or not, people are like, what are you talking about her for? Because my heart is full. Because I met a beautiful young lady from Oklahoma, and you know that people are dating, they get to know somebody, they want to talk about that. It's so easy. They don't be like, well, I don't want to talk about that. No, they want to talk about that. They'll try to insert into the conversation, whether you're talking about it or not. It's the same way in every area. So if it's like, well, I really love God, but man, I'm just going to go negative and talk about it. You're not really full of his word. It's so easy to see in the natural. It's the same thing with the spiritual. Let's look at Matthew 15, verse 10. Matthew 15, verse 10. So what's going on here is Jesus, the Pharisees, the religious leaders have come to Jesus. He's saying, why, I can't remember if he's talking about his disciples, but why are your disciples, I believe, why don't they wash their hands before they eat? Why are they breaking the law? And so he's talking about these things. And I don't want to read the whole context for the sake of time, but they're basically criticizing and saying, well, they're doing something wrong. They're doing that wrong. Why don't they wash their hands the way they ought to, according to what they consider the law and all that? And so verse 10 says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. And then if we're going to skip down to verse 15, he talks to them a little bit about some other things. Then verse 15, it says, then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Verse 16, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Goes with what we were talking about last week and what we just read. They defile a man. They come from the heart, so they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. In the verse 11, in the Amplified, it said, it is not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles and dishonors him, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles and dishonors him. So Jesus said, it's not what goes in that's defiling the person, it's what's coming out that defiles them. Now, defile, what that word means, to make unclean or impure. It means to corrupt the purity or perfection of. Another definition is to sully or dishonor. So when you say defile the man, you're making him unclean, impure, dishonor. Some synonyms are pollute and poison. What comes out of your mouth or my mouth, it affects how people see you. It affects your reputation. It defiles you. So in other words, it dishonors you. It can dishonor you. What you say pollutes or poisons. In other words, so when we're talking about grumbling and complaining, but anything that comes out, that's the type of thing that actually, it doesn't honor God if it's negative. And it actually dishonors us. And it defiles us. It gives the enemy access to us. But it's something that we don't want to have anything to do with it. It flows out and actually makes us less. I'm not talking about your spiritual standing. I'm talking about what you're on the earth, what you're doing, what I'm doing. If it's not godly, it's actually polluting what people see us as, our witness. It's polluting our own. It's going to pollute our own conscience. You're going to feel, if you're sensitive, you're going to sense that I'm saying the wrong thing. I'm doing the wrong thing. It's focusing on the wrong thing. It's not faith. It is decreasing our stature at that point in all ways. The way we see ourselves, our faith, because we know if we look at our faith is of the heart. And if our heart's bothering us, we don't have confidence. If we're surrounded by people, whether Christian, un-Christian, we've already read how many verses, it's an ungodly witness. They're saying that's a Christian. They're saying all that. They're negative. They're complaining. They're griping. That's not God. It's defiling us. Our reputation is complainer, grumbler, mutterer. It's not godly. God said stay away from all those things. And so this isn't this is on a negative side, but it is so life-giving when we cut these things out. Yes. And here's the thing that we'll see. It may be a progression. If we're over here and we just, it's a habit with negative. I mean, you can't blame it on our temperament. And okay, some people may be more prone for something else, but you can't blame it there because the Bible reads the same for all of us. So we can say, I'm not going to do it. If God said it, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. I'm going to back away from it. I don't want to defile myself. Okay, so here's the continuum. If I'm doing it all the time, the next step for sure is stop that. Shut up, at least. Step past that is you're saying it's just life. It's positive all the time. But if you feel like I just can't say this good, but you can, but I'm saying at least shut up. At least stop the negative, like stop the spigot, because we're going to see if you're doing that, it is way better than defiling. Because guess what? If you're just standing there, you're not defiling yourself. You've already won. You're already way farther than over here. It's just like, keep the mouth shut. Now, it's so much better you start going over here, but at least that middle step. Let's read a few verses. We have a lot of verses here, but Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, first step. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. If you could just get that part, don't let the bad come out. Don't the grumbling, complaining. You could apply this across the board, but notice, let's just keep it, you know, focused. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to grumble because that is evil communication. We've established that. So that's a corrupt word. Don't let it come out. Goal number one is not coming out. Everybody say, it's not coming out. It being the grumbling, complaining. Look at the next part of that verse. Let no corrupt proceed or word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. So that's the next step. Only words that are good for necessary edification, which means building up, that it may impart grace to the hearer. That means when you speak, it's grace. It's like, I wanted to hear that. It's not like, would you shut up? We don't want that witness. That's defiling us. It's dishonoring. We don't want it to be like, here comes the complainer. Here's the grump. No, that's not godly. But we want it to be grace. Oh, man, you just around that person? Uplifting. Wow, the presence. It's just, feel better. That's where we want to go. Stop number one, shut up. Which we're going somewhere. You see it. It's so much better, but that's where we want to go. Look at Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The first verse 13, keep your tongue from evil. If the Bible says it, then we can do it. Say, it's just so hard. That's hard because it's a habit. And because we're probably focusing on the wrong thing, our heart is full of the wrong thing, we change that, you're still going to have to, number one, stop it and start saying the right thing. But if you focus on your heart, like we talked about last week, it's going to be make that much easier, but you're going to still have to change that habit because it's so easy to do. It's so easy when you get around negative people just to join it. So easy at work when you're dealing with a bunch of unbelievers and they're joining. You don't want to look like, you're just not on board. So it's easy just to, I don't want to look like I like support all of management. I just am going to throw in some negative too. There's pressure. I've been there. You know what the first step is? Just stand there and shut up. That itself, people will be like, why aren't you saying anything? Don't have anything to say. If I can't say anything positive, I'm just not going to say anything. Psalm 39, verse 1. It says, I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. Can you sin with your tongue? Of course you can. That's all the things we talk about. And we're not focused on that because if we cut that out, it's going to cut out a whole segment. Again, this is not for us to feel bad. This is going to go, aha, that's maybe worse than I thought. I am not having anything to do with it. It'd be like just opening your door at night, leaving it open, unlocked, not only unlocked, propped open. You don't know what's going to come in overnight. Why would you? Well, why? Who would do that? Exactly. What, you open your mouth and just let all this negative stuff, you are opening the door for the enemy. It's like, no, that's sin. I don't want anything to do with it. If you mess up, repent, say, God, forgive me. Now, my intent is not to do that again. And you just keep on that track. You don't get discouraged. I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I'm working with people that are like, blah, 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 and you're going to be like, you ever heard, bite your tongue? That's like a muzzle. Mm. I want to say it, but nope. In your mind, you're like, nope, got the muzzle on. Not going to say anything. That's better. Now, but we're restraining from saying the negative things. But yeah, we want to speak life. But these verses are focused on don't say the negative. Don't grumble. Don't complain. It's never a good thing. We have control over our mouth. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Now, God ain't going to do it for you. He can help you. God's not going to take your mouth or my mouth and either make it do something or stop it, but he will help if we'll yield to him. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Because Proverbs 13:3, there's so much in the Bible about these things. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. Now all these apply across the board, but think about it in line of grumbling, complaining. He who guards his mouth, I'm not doing it. Stay away from it. Not doing it. I guard my life. Preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You want life, you want destruction. I don't want to open wide my lips. Not in the negative way. I want to guard my mouth for anything negative. It's not, and we talked about this, I believe, it's not too high a goal to say, I'm not doing that anymore. If I miss it, my goal for the rest of my life is I'm not doing it. There's never a time when it's good to grumble, complain. It's just not a good, it's never something that we want to be known for or something that we want to do. We want to do something else. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. That's what we want to do. I want to be known as wise, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. We want to be known as wise or fools. You guys are unsettled on it. You just don't know. We want to be wise. We want to use knowledge rightly. What are we getting right now? Knowledge of God's word. What do we want to do? Oh, I know. I read how many verses? This is not something I want to be like trifling with. Because we read all the things specifically on grumbling, complaining. This is negative communication. So these all apply. Proverbs 10:20 or 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. That's just a general principle. Too much talking, there's something going on. Not good. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Again, the restraining. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, giving us what should we be? Just like, oh, they speak. It's peaceful. It's graceful. It's encouraging. It's the positive side. We do not want to be the... Well, here's the negative part of that. And you don't stick your head in the sand, of course. I mean, you know, like I have a degree in computer engineering and software. You know, you got different people in a company where somebody's at the head of the company and they're the big visionary and they're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And the engineer's like, nah, you're not going to do that. That's going to last about 3 days. Well, that's good balance. On the other hand, you want to go forward, but at the same time, it's not just negative to be like, here's the actual physics on that. So no, that thing is not going to fly. So no, we're not talking about being unwise, not being realistic, but just constantly the negative side about something when there's no reason. That's grumbling and complaining. Proverbs 17:28. Now here's one that really brings out what we were talking about as far as if you can't say something good, just don't say anything. It says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace, or when he's quiet. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. So if you don't know something about a situation, if you're in a meeting and it's over your head, best thing to do, just be quiet and just look and be like, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be fake, but just listen. Because people think, wow, he's taking it all in. But you open your mouth, you're like, oh, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If you don't know, don't say anything. But if you're going to say something negative, here's the default. Get out of that, oh, I just got to say it, I feel it. No, say, better to say nothing. Better just to zip it. Don't say it. Yeah, but somebody's got to say it. It's just so, no, that's not going to be me. I'm not the one that's going to say it. Uh-uh. That's not going to help. I've seen too much Word of God on that. No, God does not hold that lightly. That's not going to be me. That's not, I am not going to be the grumbling one. I want to be considered wise, so I'm just going to shut up when I need to shut up. Notice it says somebody that actually is a fool. They are a fool. Yet people will think they're wise when they don't talk. You know why? Because when you say certain things, you defile yourself. When you say things that are foolish according to God's word, you're dishonoring, you're polluting, you're defiling. Ecclesiastes 5:3, it says, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Proverbs 10:31, it says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. So that's what we want. Instead of defiling, instead of dishonoring, instead of saying things that aren't going to be good, we want to be known like this. The mouth of the righteous, it brings, when we talk, there's wisdom. You know, that doesn't mean you have to be the smartest person in the room. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. You know, you can have a lot of knowledge, but have no wisdom. On the other hand, you could have not a whole lot of knowledge about things, but the things you do know, you apply them right. You could have life wisdom. And when you open your mouth, wow, that's okay. That's perceptive. You know how you get that? Just quote the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to say chapter, verse, but when we speak as God speaks, it's wise. It's default wise. It's going to be the right thing. And we know He said, don't grumble, don't complain. So we know that's never wise. So we cut that off. We be careful about what we're going to say, and we want to just be knowing anything that comes out, it's grace, it's good, it's peace, it's comfort, it's joy, it's positive, it's uplifting, it's godly. Because God isn't just raining on everybody's parade. He's not negative. He wouldn't tell us to do something that He doesn't do. Aren't you glad you don't go to God and He's like, yeah, you are an idiot. Get it together already, man. No, he is so patient and kind. I wonder how many times, it's infinite, pretty dang close, God could say, I told you so. People go to him and they're having problems. I told you so. He could say that, but you know what? He's so gracious. I'm not saying he never would say it. Just it depends on the relationship, you know, and how maturity level. But he's not. Don't you love it when somebody goes, I told you so? Because at that point, you already know. That's the last thing you need to hear. That's the last thing I need to hear is, yeah, you are stupid. I know that already. I'm looking for some help here. I'm looking for, you know, I'm talking to you because maybe there's some grace and mercy and help and encouragement. I don't need to hear how dumb I was. Well, you know, if you would have done this, yes, I know. Thank you. No, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. Ooh, don't want that. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Now, here we're talking. We know some things that aren't acceptable. God says, stay away from grumbling. Stay away from complaining. That's not acceptable. The mouth of the wicked, what is perverse? Don't want to be in that area. James 1:19 and 20. Here's some good pattern. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, like somebody said, a lot of people practice that in reverse. They're slow to hear, fast to speak, fast to wrath. But we're supposed to be swift to hear. You know, you learn a lot more by listening than you do talking. Because you, me, we already know what we know. Don't know what the other person's saying. So swift to hear, slow to speak. That go with the other things. Slow to say something. Well, I just have to. No, I'm going to slow down. Slow to wrath, of course. Wrath does not produce the righteousness of God. Wrath would be along the lines of all this other stuff we're saying, grumbling, complaining, ultimately wrath. James 1:26, a few verses later, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, this is a good one, thinks he is religious in this context, not man-made religion, but thinks he's, you know, faith and loves God, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So if we think, oh, I have a lot of faith, but we're just blah, 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 negative, 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 we're like, well, that's useless. And here's the thing, that defiles us. So people that are perceptive already know it. It's already dishonored us. It's already devalued us because it's negative. But that's not us. That's not the direction we're going. These are all the things, yep, nope, nope, I'm going to be the one that's bringing forth wisdom. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. If we don't stumble in word, that is a perfect or mature or complete man. When we say the right thing, when we are actually, we're not grumbling, not complaining, bringing life, bringing grace, bringing mercy, bringing hope, bringing joy, you're able to say the right thing. It's saying that's actually a mark of maturity, able to bridle. If you bridle the tongue, you're able to control the whole body. It says he's able to bridle the whole body. In other words, if you can control your mouth and say the right thing, we can control our whole body. So it's important. So what if we're just, I just got to let it rip. At that point, we know we can come up. We know we can mature. We know, wait, I got some work to do. So if I'm over there, we know, first step, shut the mouth. Second step, let the good flow. And as I do that, I'm going to see a change, because when I speak the wrong thing, it's not just that I'm defiling myself around people. I'm hearing it. And it makes the whole situation negative. I am looking at the wrong thing. I'm not acting in faith. I'm actually looking at the wrong thing. So I start changing that. I see my perspective come up. If I back up and start filling my heart with the right thing, then it's easier for those right things to come out. As I say them, I'm hearing it. It's easier for then, even easier for the right things to come out. And my whole life can start moving in the right direction. Because of just, and that's what, we're not going to take time to read it, that James talks about. Your tongue is like a rudder changing the direction, just like a ship is changed, is directed by the rudder. Our tongue changes the direction of our life. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we read this. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We're full, just speaking right. We're rejoicing always. We're praying without ceasing. We're in everything. We're giving thanks. We are just gushing with the truth of God, with His Spirit, with His, just the overflow of His truth. And then finally, Colossians 3:16, we read this. "Let the word of God," or word of Christ, "dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's when it's overflowing. That's when it's just the word of God, songs, psalms, hymns, spiritual song, and we can do this. You start walking around, your heart's full of God's word. You've been in the word, you're praying, fellowshipping with God. Then it's just overflowing. Then it's just wherever you do it, there's peace, there's joy, there's psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You're just gushing with God. There's no room for that other, because it's just flowing out of your heart, out of your mouth. All that other is just stamped out. It's like a fountain that's just going like this. That it's just any junk that's in there in that mouth of the fountain, it's just pushed out and pushed out. And you hear it, and it's pushed out. And you hear yourself, and you're encouraged. And just that's the goal. That's where we want to be. And it doesn't mean you have to walk around saying that to everybody, because some people don't understand what you're doing and they'll think you're weird. But you can still be positive. And when you do say something, it is grace and it's the right thing and it's the tongue of the wise. And just said it, it's silver and gold and grace and peace. So much better than defiling by saying something. So much better. Just the presence of God, that we're just walking with Him and overflowing with Him. And that's His will for every one of us. Amen. Continually. Amen.